If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mona. We Christians are strange people, aren't we? We have been forgiven, and yet we still need to be forgiven. We do strange things. We acknowledge that Jesus has paid for all of our sins, and yet we still regularly do that. We read in Scripture that we have been given new hearts, and yet we still discover there are remnants of the old one that are still plaguing us. We have been made new in Christ, and yet we still struggle to put away the influences of the old man. We've been born again, and yet we're commanded to grow in Christ. We have been given an entirely new nature, and yet we're commanded to put off the old one regularly. We live in a constant place of tension. We are to love others as we have been loved, and yet we still struggle to do that. God has loved us with abundant love, and yet we often find ourselves to be unlovely. And yet this is what we're called to. We have been called to be holy, and yet we find so often we're very, very far from that. And Peter has something to say. As we have been working our way through the book of 1 Peter, some of these tensions we see cropping up again and again. And how is it that we can live to this calling to which we have been called? Peter tells us that today, this portion that we come to this morning has something to do with increasing our longing for the pure milk of the Word. He says, long for it, like newborn infants long for pure spiritual milk. So this morning, my goal, my prayer, my aim has been, is to cause you to long for God's Word, and increasing the intensity with which you long for God's Word, for by it you have been changed, and by it you will continue to be changed and grow up into this salvation that we've been called, and also by it you will taste the goodness of the glory of the Lord. So pray with me. Father, we live with a tension in this world. We live with the working of your Spirit within us to transform us, and yet we continually need to be transformed. We love you, and yet there are days that we don't. We love your Word, and yet there are days we just can't seem to pick it up. We yearn to be obedient to you, but there are days when we would just rather do our own thing. So, Father, I pray that you would please help us. Give us this morning a deep sense of satisfaction from your Word. Satisfy the longing of our souls. Let all of us taste your Word a little bit today so that we see the goodness and are turned away from things that are unhealthy and unholy and contrary to what is good for our soul. Would you please pour out your Spirit upon all of us and cause us to walk in your ways? And I ask for your help, please. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you just keep it open to 1 Peter chapter 2, we're just going to take a look at three verses this morning. There is this simple command to put off some things, to turn away from some things. But it begins with a so or a therefore, depending on your translation. So Peter is saying, what I'm about to say, you can't understand unless you know what went before it. So just quickly, I want to help us Remember where we've been, what Peter has just said in this previous paragraph, because it's important, because verse 22, Peter says, you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth. So something has happened. Your heart has been changed. And you've obeyed the gospel. And so from this transformation that has happened in your life, again, Peter is helping us as Christians to understand what happened. What happened to us? He says, you were born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And so there is this truth that believers have had the imperishable seed of God's life planted within us, which begins to work a transformation of us. So we have been changed. Peter says, you have been born again. And then he gives us this crazy command. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. And we talked about this a few weeks ago. We can't do that without having a new heart. We find that there is many, many things about one another. If we spent a long time with all of us, we would discover there's lots of things I just don't love about you. You're just unpleasant to be around. But loving one another earnestly from the heart comes from a new heart, a renewed heart. And we have been given that, is what Peter is saying. You have been born again. It happened by the word of God. And that's what begins to trigger his thinking. And so he says, this word that changed you is at the very last verse of chapter 1, verse 25. He says, this is the good news that was preached to you. This good news that changed you is what was preached to you. And so he says, now, because you have been changed, then put away, and here we are at verse 1, he says, put away malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. And so I don't want to start there. Having a long list of all that you ought not to do, we'll get there at the end, but I want us to spend just a couple of minutes thinking about what is it that has happened and how did it happen that we have been changed and transformed? Because we won't be able to obey these commands without first understanding what it is that changed us and the fact that we are changed. Because a lot of times people see Christianity as simply a long list of do's and don'ts. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the heart that cannot do the long list that we find everywhere needs to be transformed. And that happens by believing and trusting in Jesus, his broken body and his shed blood. By believing that that happened for you and me. By trusting in that, that's what changes us. And so Peter says this crazy thing in verse 2. He says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into salvation. I want you to think about that with me, that image. I want that to be the image that we start with and we linger on just for a minute as we long to know, what does this mean? And I pray would increase your longing for this, whatever this milk is, this spiritual word. So in verse 23, Peter says, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And then he goes on and he says, that happened by the living and abiding Word of God. So that's on Peter's mind, this Word of God. It's not static, it's not old, it's not dead. It is living and abiding. It remains and moves forever. This is God's Word, is what Peter is describing. And then he says in chapter 2, verse 2, long for this pure spiritual milk. Well, the word that is translated spiritual, it really is a word that comes from lego, which is to say or to speak. So it really means of speech, which means that it's a reference to God's word. So this spiritual refers to the word of God. So the pure spiritual milk could be translated this pure milk of the word. He's really telling you to desire that which is of speech, which is the Word of God. Peter wants everyone in this room, he wants his readers and all of us, to long for the pure Word of God. He wants you, every one of us, to have a heart that yearns to know it and to desire it. Because he says, you have been changed by it. This is what caused you to be born again. This truth that you heard, it's of speech. You heard something and it changed you because you believed it and you received it. Paul is clear. That's how it happens to us. We hear and we come. Faith comes by hearing. So when we hear God's word, that's what changes us. This is why we preach. This is why we have sermons. This is why I stand up here to try to help you receive some truth. I try to do that in creative ways so that nobody falls asleep. But what happens is God uses His Word to awaken us. In the preaching of God's Word, He causes our heart to be changed through the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why I pray every time before I preach, God, will you please help me? I can't do what you've called me to do, which is to change us. Nobody comes here to stay the same, do you? We come to be transformed. Are you happy with you today? Is there something of you that you want to be changed? Would you like to see a different you? I would. There's much about me that I want to learn and to grow. This is Peter's calling. He's inviting you to yearn for God's Word because that's what changed you in the past. And he says, that's what will change you in the future. That's by it you will grow up into salvation. Now, he's not saying you're not saved. He's saying you need to mature. All of us who have begun with the Lord, we have expressed our faith, we need to continue to grow. And Peter is saying, yearn for God's Word, for by it, that's how you grow. So do we yearn for it? That's the invitation for God's Word. You won't yearn for anything you don't think is good. You won't. You'll never desire something that you don't think is going to be beneficial to you. So I want you to go back with me into the Old Testament just to list a couple of good reasons why you should yearn for more of God's Word. And this is David who says this. This is King David. He said these words in Psalm 19. He said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." Could you use a little reviving this morning? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." I love that. I'm a simple guy. I want to be made wise. I want to be wisened up a little bit. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey, the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them, there is what? Great reward." Let me just list those one more time. God revives your soul through His Word. He makes simple people wise. He brings joy to sad hearts. He brings brightness to your eyes. He gives truth and righteousness through His Word. It's more valuable than gold. It's sweeter than honey. It warns us of dangers. It promises great reward for those who obey it. The Word of God is good and sweet and rewarding. And Peter is telling you, yearn for more of God's Word. Therefore, long for it, is what Peter is saying. God's Word changed your heart. It brought you to life. God used His Word to awaken you to your need of a Savior. So long for God's Word. That's what Peter's saying. He's pleading with you to yearn and long for God's Word. That means, what does it mean to long for something? I'd long for lunch right now. If you missed breakfast, you're longing for it too, right? What does that mean? Long for something. It's an intense passion. You're not ambivalent towards it. You yearn for it. You want it deeply. That's what Peter is saying. Yearn for God's Word like this. Long for it. And do you know the final words of people carry lots of weight? One of the last things that Moses said about God's Word before he died is this. Deuteronomy 32:47. He says, "This is no empty word for you. It is your very life." Is that the longing? Do you hear that? That invitation from Moses to say, "This, please don't neglect the Word of God. It's your very life." Perhaps there are many of us who are starving spiritually because we're not in God's Word. We're not longing for it. We're not yearning for it. We're weak and ill-equipped to handle the difficulties in life and the storms that will certainly come because we haven't thrown ourselves into God's Word. And Moses cries out before he dies. He says, this is God's Word. Yearn for it. It's your life. Do you yearn to see this? This is what we're being invited to. And why? Because Peter says here, it will satisfy you. If you've tasted and you've seen that this is good, goodness and life comes to us from God's Word. Hear this. This is God speaking in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 2 to 3. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves with rich food. What is that? Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. If your soul is shriveled and wilting and weak, come to the Word of God in order to hear the voice of God. This is God Himself inviting us to this. And Jesus said it Himself. He said in John chapter 6, the words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and life. God communicates life to us through His Word. Why is it that we have to learn this lesson again and again and again? We fail. We just ignore. It's how many of us, you make up your mind. I mean, years in a row, every New Year's, every January, I would make up my mind to read through the Bible, and I would get through the first book or two, and then I would just bail on it. How many of us neglect God's Word? And why do we find it so easy to do? There's something within us that can easily ignore God's Word. And yet here we have the Spirit of God telling us, come to me for life and goodness. And this is Peter's call to us, right? Long for God's Word like pure milk. Let it be like milk to your soul. And he uses this incredible image of an infant yearning for milk. How many of you are parents? You remember what that's like? Do you remember that earnest, yearning little babies? When they are hungry, there's nothing in the world but mommy's milk, right? I mean, when our kids were little, they get hungry, they start rooting around. They know what they're after. They need the breast. They need some milk. And there's an intensity that parallels nothing. Give me the milk. Right? I need, it's life-giving. That ought to be a picture of our yearning for God's Word, is what Peter's saying. Like a little baby yearns for mommy's milk and is nourished and strengthened by it. That's how we as God's children ought to yearn for His milk, the milk of His Word, for we're sustained by it. It's a precious image. Why? It not only transformed us, but Peter says it is also the means by which you will grow up. You will mature through God's Word. You were changed and transformed and born again by the Word of God. And Peter says, you're going to grow up by the Word of God. So yearn for God's Word. Put your nose in it and stay in it. And it's interesting to me that we are find ourselves talking about this. Because I spoke on about the same thing to the youth the other night. Didn't plan this to coalesce at all. But God has all of us as a church here spending time with an invitation to an intense desire for God's Word. I told the young people Friday night, I said, I will go to my grave saying one thing over and over and over again, and it is, will you please read God's Word? Read it. Soak in it. Memorize it. Put it on the dashboard, just a little bit lower so you can see over it to drive. Put it everywhere. Put it on the mirrors in the bathroom. My brother used to write scripture on the mirrors in the bathroom. Memorize it. Put it everywhere. Keep God's Word before you. It will transform your life. It will give you strength to endure the difficulties that you're going to face. I know nothing to sustain people through problems and through challenges except the Word of God. So long for it. If you get tired of hearing me say that, that's fine. Get tired of it. Just tell me to shut up. And show me your reading. Show me your memorizing. I want you to yearn for God's Word. Only then can we obey the command that's found in verse 1. Commands don't land on us well if we don't have the strength to obey them. That comes from God. And so Verse 1, now we go to the commands. So what does he say? So, because you've been changed and transformed, now do this. Because you're a new person, now do this. Put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. So we're called to act differently after we come to faith in Jesus. When you become a new child in Christ, we're then commanded, live like that. That is the invitation. You've been changed. You've been given a new heart. Now you live in a new way. There's a new imperishable seed that has been put within you. So now live in a new way. And he says, put away malice. It's the first thing Peter says. Put it away from you. What is malice? It's an intent or a desire to cause evil or bring about evil or to have evil come upon someone. It's wanting some bad things to happen to other people. And Peter says, get rid of that. This internal desire for harm to come from someone. Put that away from you. You ever have these? Do you ever get surprised by these desires that crop up in your soul? Peter knows what this is like. We're all like this. This stuff bubbles up out of our heart. And he says, put all of it away. Don't harbor any ill will towards anyone, is what he's saying. Put it away. And then put away deceit. What is deceit? It's an intention or an action to present something that's not true. You want someone to believe something false, usually in order to gain some advantage by it. So we present ourselves a little better than we are so that people are impressed or love us or all these kinds. He says, stop being deceitful. Stop intentionally trying to twist with the truth and present some image that's not real. Peter says, stop it. That's not in accord with the good, holy calling that we've been called to. Put all of it away. And hypocrisy. Stop pretending to be someone you're not. Now stop and think just for a second. Peter's talking to Christians here. Stop pretending to be someone you're not. You are a child of God, so don't live like you're not. You have been transformed, so don't live like you're not transformed. You have received a new heart, so don't do things that are in accord with your old heart. Put those things away. Put hypocrisy away from you. And envy. Put all envy out of your life. Envy is a malicious intention towards someone that has something you want and you don't have it. You desire something someone has, you don't, and you want it. Stop comparing yourself with others. Pray for me. I'm going to go to a 30-year class reunion this weekend, and comparison is inevitable. It happens at every high school reunion I go to. There's something within me that is envious of the blessings of all my friends who I graduated from high school with, went to work at Ford Motor Company making $30 an hour out of high school, and they've been there for 30 years, and it'll be a struggle for me. Envy. We see things, stuff that other people have, and there's something within us that goes, why can't I have that? Am I the only one? Peter says, just get rid of it. Just put it away from you. Push it away. Fight against it. Pray against it. Invite people into your life to help you pray against these things. And then slander. He says, put all slander away. Slander is particularly speaking against or accusing someone with exaggerated or false claims in order to damage their name or their reputation. As I sat and I prayed about this, I don't know that, certainly, hear this. If this is you, if you have a problem defaming other people's name, put it away from you. I don't think this is where we struggle. We struggle, yes, with words. I think we have a massive problem with the language that we use. I hear people who call themselves Christians using words we ought never to use. I sat with a group of ministers 2 weeks ago, And one of them was lamenting about this ministry in the church that was going poorly. And he said a word I'm not even going to spell. It looks like every time I turn around, we're using curse words and swear words, and we're to be the people of God. And it breaks my heart. I plead with you. We're called to be holy people, holy in everything we do and everything we say. Why? Because we've been given a new nature, and it doesn't accord with who we are. It ought not to be on your Facebook page. Swear words ought not to be typed in text messages. The cursing should not roll out of the mouths of the people of God. It ought not to be. James says it. James 3, 9 and 10. We bless the Lord on Sundays, and we turn around on Monday morning, and we curse our coworkers. That's my translation, not his. These things ought not to be. How can pure salt water come out of one stream and then a second later, fresh water? It's inconsistent with who we are. Brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, nothing but edifying speech ought to roll out of your mouth. Constructive criticism, yes, helpful, but not cursing and swearing. Here's what Paul says in Ephesians 4. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion. Put foul talking away. Put away cursing. Put away swearing. Put away slander. Peter's concerned about who we are. So he says, put it far from you. And what's the biggest problem? Where does the words come from? Jesus says, the mouth speaks out of what fills the heart. The tongue bubbles over by the things that we dwell on in our souls. So we need a new heart. So Christians, you have a new heart. We're called now to live according to that new heart, not to conform ourselves into other ways that don't agree with this new nature that we've been called to. Peter says, you have been called to be holy like your heavenly Father is holy. The tension of our daily experience and all the conflict that flows out of us does not change the fact that we have been called to live according to who we are in Christ. Our identity is in Christ, and in Him we are new creatures. And we're called to live according to that nature. So Peter is saying, feed in your life the things that you want to grow. Magnify God through your heart. Yearn for the pure spiritual milk of God's word. Fill your mind with God's word, and the words will take care of themselves. Fill your heart with God's word, and envy will subside, because you'll learn how much you've been given. Fill your heart with God's word, and deceit will slip away. Fill your mind with God's word, and malice, you can leave it at the door. This is an invitation to yearn longingly and passionately for more of God's word so that we continue to let God's Spirit work within us. So it's not a, don't hear this as, if you get rid of all this stuff, then God's going to love you. He already loves you. He loves us and has already changed us. The invitation for today is to live according to that. You have been given a new heart, so you can obey this promise. God has changed you. This is Christians. If you're not a Christian, then you need a new heart and you need to ask Him, say, change me. And we go on being changed. That's that tension that we live with. We have been forgiven, and yet, before we share communion, as David invited us, we need to confess our sins. So some of this will land for some of you. Maybe malice is a problem for you. Maybe deceit is a problem. Maybe hypocrisy or envy is a problem. Maybe slander or foul words is a problem. The good news is you can be forgiven. That's what God's people do. We confess, we receive that forgiveness, and we walk out of here saying, thank you, God, for the grace that washes my soul clean. That's the invitation for today. Long for God's word. By it, you have been changed. It was the truth of God's word that transformed your heart. And Peter says, long for his word because by it you will grow up in salvation. You will continue to be changed. And you will taste and see that the Lord is good. So put yourself on a path of learning, okay, Lord, if this is a promise, I want more of a taste of your goodness. I have been blessed by the habitual reading of God's word. So I want to share my two favorite apps with you, two favorite websites to help you. If you don't have a plan, some people struggle to know, I don't know where to read. Where do I start? ESV.org has about a dozen Bible reading plans. If you just go and click on resources at ESV.org, you can hear some reading plans. There's about 13 there. Olive Tree Bible Study Platform, both of these are free apps. The ESV app will read to you as you commute and go to work. This one has a ton of reading plans that you can go through. If you don't know where to start, I would be happy to talk with you at the end. We'd be happy to pray with you in just a few minutes. If you say, I just don't find God's word interesting, then there'll be a prayer team of folks right over here to my left at the end of our time together who will kneel down before God with you and say, help me have a hunger and thirst for your word. Don't leave without praying and asking God, change my heart. Give me a hunger for your word. Help me out. Because God will answer that prayer. And you don't have to read tons of scripture. Ian and I were talking this morning. How many verses did I preach on this morning? Three. Malice. You could sit with that all day long and just think about your heart. You can pick out one word in a scripture and say, Lord, is this for me? Is any of this here? Slander. Do I have that problem? Is speech an issue? Envy? Whatever it is. You don't have to read a lot of God's word. I'm just inviting you, yearn for it. A verse, one verse a day. Plant it in your brain and carry it with you throughout the day. It doesn't have to be much. Just get yourself into God's word. If you need a Sunday school class, Andy's leading a Sunday school class every Sunday morning that only listens to the reading of the word of God. You guys meet in the conference room back here. If you just come and just listen. Come on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and listen. God's word changed us in the past if you're a Christian. If we submit ourselves to it, that will be the means by which we go on changing and growing up into salvation. And you will taste and see that God's word is good. Let's pray together. Father, change our hearts. Cause us to love you. Awaken in our souls a longing for your word. Give us the desire to know the goodness that you intend for us to receive through your word. I pray that if there are those here today who are not believers, that they would cry out to you right now and say, would you give me a new heart? Just do it right now. If you're one of those people, ask the Lord, save me, forgive me of my sins. I need a new heart. Lord, and those of us who have been walking with you, we need you to continually reshape us and renew us. Renew our hearts and strengthen us. God, forgive us for malice. Help us to remove envy from our lives, to put away hypocrisy. Let us put away slander. Let us think about our words, Lord. God, may we be holy in all that we do, because that's who we are in you. So, Lord, we fall on our faces. We ask you to forgive us, and we ask you to let your light shine more brightly through us. Turn our hearts from sin and cause us to love holiness. I pray all of this in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.